according as it diffuses its likeness to the what? Last of things, right? To the least of things. For nothing is able to be that does not go forward from the divine wisdom by certain what? Imitation of it, huh? Just as from the first effective and formal beginning of things. Insofar as also artificial things go forward from the wisdom of the what? Artist, right? Thus, therefore, insofar as the likeness of the divine wisdom, step by step, goes forward from the highest things, which partake more of his likeness, down to the lowest things, which partake less, there is said to be a certain what? Going forward and a certain motion of divine wisdom in things. Just as if we were said that the sun proceeds as far as the earth, insofar as the ray of its light extends or reaches down to the earth, right? And in this way, Dionysius expounds in the first chapter of the Celestial Hierarchy, saying that every going forward of the divine manifestation comes to us from the Father, right? Yeah? From the Father of lights, from his what? Being moved, right? Huh? Okay. Now, it's a little bit like we speak of two of a wave spreading out, huh? If you drop a rock in the water, does a wave move across the whole lake or the whole surface of the water? No, but it's kind of a similitude to that, right? Huh? A likeness of that, huh? Okay. So we speak of the descension of what? The perfection of God to creatures, right? And the higher creatures partake more in the lower, and finally gives out down there. You get down to prime matter, right? There's no actuality down there. So, is the divine wisdom itself moving down? No, but it's kind of like the effect of it is moving down, right? And likeness there. Okay. Now, God approaching us. To the third, it should be said that these things of this sort are said of God in scriptures metaphorically, just as the sun is said to enter a house or to go out of the house, insofar as its ray arises at the house. And thus God is said to approach us or to what? Go away from us insofar as we perceive the influence of his goodness or we what? Fall away from it. Huh? Okay. What did they say in the beginning? Sometimes in the office, the Lord make haste to help me. Get here quickly. But, you know, this is kind of a metaphorical way of saying, right? To help us right away, right? You know? And then he said to be coming, huh? What's this prayer we have? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Kindle them. Fire thy love. Does the Holy Spirit come to us? See? Is there a motion of his coming to us, right? Or did they speak of the mission of the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. He's sent to us, right? Mm-hmm. You know? But, so does he come to us, or what? Are we beginning to experience the effect of his causality, you know? And that's the, he's coming to us, right? Now, a lot of students have a hard time, you know, people in general, you know. I think God must be awfully bored if he can't change. And he's awfully confined, you know, like he's tied up or something. And that's partly, I suppose, why the metaphors are good in a sense, right? Huh? Because, you know, and what's good to see, you know, God is in some sense everywhere too, right? That he needs nothing, right? I was saying, scripture there will be in the temple there, we won't go out anymore. Oh no! Cabin, what do you call it? Yeah. It's hard to understand, right? Huh? And now people can't even understand, you know, how we won't eat in the next world, right? It's kind of strange, huh? Won't sleep, I guess, either, huh? You neither eat or sleep, huh? And of course, who was it? Origen, right? Who thought that sometime, you know, we'd get tired of the beatific vision, right? And then we'd want to go down and be reincarnated or something. And it's hard to for us mm-hmm. to understand the unchangeable, right? Motion seems more real than what is not moving, right? And yet, you know, when you understand what motion really is, it's hardly there at all. Right? And if I walk out the door here, my motion is what? Mostly gone and to come. And how much motion is there ever actually here? Well, in the now, I can't be in two places, right? Is there any motion in the now? There's no motion in the now. So, my motion, in one sense, is hardly even present, huh? Very, very, very fugitive kind of existence, huh? Very strange. Strange. And the more you think about it, the more unreal emotion seems to be. Mm-hmm. And yet to us, it seems to be the most real thing. And Aristotle says, we'll say anything about an existence except that it moves. Because then it would seem real to us, right? Whatever moves is real. But it's barely real. And God seems kind of unreal because what is he doing all day long? Just thinking about himself. Doesn't he get... It says, you know, you want to try to introduce, you know, some reaction in God to what we do or don't do. And, you know, scripture will speak, you know, metaphorically of God getting angry and so on. But, does he react to our being good or our being bad down here? It doesn't, huh?
Does the soul change?
What?
The human soul.
Yeah, but in the beatific vision there, you are partaking, this is called eternal life, right? Because you're partaking of eternity there. There's no before and after in that vision. Could be very, very unique, huh? Mm. You wonder whether you will recognize your friends up there. I'm sure you will, right? But it's going to be a very different life. Very different. So okay, a couple of little platonic things here. And the last dregs for my thing.